think that starting an OT business can change your life? I know that Jason and I have talked about our own journeys, and we shared a lot about kind of what we've gone through and really kind of how it's impacted our lives. But today, we have two special guests joining the show, our first guest to join the show, and they're going to be sharing their journeys and everything that's happened in the year plus since they've started their own business. Are you thinking about starting an occupational therapy business but don't even know where to begin?
Whether you're starting something on the side or going full-time in your business, the OTpreneur podcast is what you need.
This show will help you get in the right mindset and give you actionable tips to go from just an idea to OTpreneur. I'm Sarah Putt, and with me is my awesome co-host, the guy that flew all the way from California to Colorado to present with me at the Occupational Therapy Association of Colorado conference. Gosh, he was there for all of 24 hours. Jason, how are you doing?
Doing well. I'm back in Southern California now after that quick turnaround trip, but it was such fun going out to Colorado presenting. We had a great group of people that will soon be entrepreneurs. You know, some of them already are entrepreneurs and have started their business, but we had a good room of 20, 25 people that are just ready to start a business. And we're so happy that we're able to help them. And I'm excited because you're going to be flying out here to California in about 3.5 weeks. Yeah, to present at OTAC of California. So excited for that.
Yeah, it was amazing. We had OT practitioners. We had some students. We had even a pre-OT. There was a guy there that was considering becoming an occupational therapy practitioner. That was in our session. And I was like, this is amazing. This is exactly what we hope to inspire anybody that wants to start an OT business. And gosh, I can't tell you how excited I am today, Jason, to bring on these two amazing practitioners. Both you and I, we've known them for a while. We have seen them as they have grown and changed, and they were just OT practitioners, and now they're OTpreneurs. And it is just, it has been so amazing to just watch this whole journey unfold. And I know I'm excited to have them here today.
Yeah, absolutely. I am too. These are two people who we have, I don't think we've ever worked in the same district at the same time, but there is so much overlap between them and myself as a school-based occupational therapy practitioner. And yeah, we couldn't have two better guests to be our first guest.
So with that, welcome to the show, me, Bowie Lewis, and Danielle DiLorenzo. How are you both today?
Hello, Sarah. Hello, Jason. Thank you so much for having us as your first guest. We are so excited, extremely tired, but we are so excited to be here.
I am so excited to be here because, you know, as I was sharing with you both earlier, me and I, we're not going on podcasts. We don't even have time to breathe in our OT entrepreneur life, but you both are so amazing and have been with us since the beginning of our journey. And we, like Jason was saying, overlap in so many different ways. But the best part is how we are all like each other's biggest cheerleaders and fans and everything. So we're just blown away to be here with you both. And we're so grateful to have you both in our lives and to be here and to talk about, you know, this fun journey that leaves us exhausted, but it's amazing.
And I want to add to that as well, just like a moment of gratitude. I just want to thank you guys for always taking the time to answer all of our OTpreneur questions. We were absolutely clueless. We are not business people. We were fresh. And so just allowing us to pick your brains and just ask all the questions and your time, it's just so appreciated. We appreciate you guys both so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And now we get a chance to pick your brains. So with that, Sarah, how are we starting this?
So I still remember this was January of 2020. Sorry, Jason, you weren't there, but me and Danielle and myself, we all met at Danielle's house. And I remember we were sitting in Danielle's office and we were just like chit-chatting about business and just like talking about different things. And then of course it got, you know, we got a little delirious and we started taking pictures and we had like that like random photo shoot. I remember that moment like it was literally yesterday.
A good moment. It was so fun.
We were delirious. That's why we started taking pictures. We still have that paper that we just wrote random notes on, Sarah. Everything you were saying, we're just like scattered, like brainstorming ideas. And Danielle still has
that piece of paper.
And we still have the pictures.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Of course. Those pictures pop up and I'm like, oh, good times. But I want to take it back before that moment, probably long before that moment. And I want to know from both of you, did you ever expect when you were either in OT school or a new grad or even just, you know, when you were out of school, did you ever expect that you would own your own business and become an OTpreneur?
Hell no. Okay. So we had just, we were guest lecturers at a local college, a university, talking to a bunch of occupational therapy students who were going for their doctorates, and it was for their business class. And I shared with them that in school, I was not focused on business class. I was like, SWAT, what? Why do I need to know this information? I'm never going to own my own business. It is way too hard. There's way too much that goes into owning a business. I just want to go to work, make money, pay off my loans. So to answer your question, no, I did not think that I was going to be here. I did not want to be here. And I said I would never own a business. But I guess that goes to show that saying, never say never, because here we are.
So I was always an independent contractor and started out in early intervention when I was 18. So I loved that freedom and I loved the flexibility of what a contractor life could be. As a business owner, I was like, no. This kind of was like me. It was like the in-between. I got to do what I wanted when I wanted. And then when I knew it was time to work for an organization, that just set me up better as like I am like, you know, thinking back for like where I am now of learning all the things you want to keep and all the things you want to change. But thinking back then that this would be what me and I created now, never. Not this. Not in this way at all. It's lovely, actually.
That's awesome. I love how you kind of go together, right? You know, me, you never wanted to own a business. Danielle, you've been kind of your own business since you first started as an occupational therapy practitioner. And we're going to dive really into like how you got to where you are today and why you love it so much. But first, I want the elevator pitch. And me, maybe you want to take this one, just like the elevator pitch for what your business is right now.
So our company is called Mindfulness in Motion. So we are an educational consulting and occupational therapy company. And we focus a lot on embedding mindfulness and movement into our practice. That focus is really on shifting that mindset from reactive, because a lot of times education, medical models, it's very reactive. And we really want to shift that mindset to that preventative and proactive, because we know that prevention is the best intervention, especially early intervention. And we are OTs, we're rooted in mental health. So we really wanted to go back to our roots of being mental health practitioners, which I also said I never wanted to be, but here I am as well.
Never say never.
I know. Yep. Never say never. That is the lesson that I have learned. And we're really trying to shift this whole dynamics of school-based OT to be more neurodiversity affirming and more inclusive.
And I think too, we want to show students that occupational therapy doesn't have to fit in a box and be a traditional practice. We are the OTs that belong in general education through an MTSS RTI model. So those are all the supports that should be in place before a student is even receiving any types of services. And what happens is we're realizing we give access and we help support that access in a variety of ways. And together we also bring this behavior component where we have our own amazing mindful behavior staff that are trying to switch the mindset within their profession and work together to really empathize and empower and educate all of the district staff, as well as at universities and organizations that, you know, when you look at mindfulness and movement and you look at what it can do to your life, it really can increase a lot of self-awareness and also support regulation.
I feel like there is so much, like everything you just said, I feel like there's so much that you both do in your business. And I feel like every time I talk to you, there's always like more, there's like more opportunities and more things that you're doing and more things that you're embedding. And, you know, you're dipping your toes over here and you're dipping your toes over there. Like, I'm always just in awe of both of you and all that you've accomplished in a relatively short time. I mean, I know that you kind of started your business a few years ago, but really went full time in it just over a year, year and a half ago. And I swear, like, literally, I'm in awe of everything that you have accomplished and everything that I know is on the horizon and that's going to change. But again, I'm all about kind of like bringing it back, like going back to the beginning. I want to know, where did this idea even come from? I know that you were both in the schools, working in the schools, but how did the idea of starting a business and then, you know, making it about mindfulness and movement, where did that start?
Came from burnout. Came from sadness. It came from systemic barriers that we were just fighting.
Trauma.
Came from trauma in the school district. And we were in the office. And it's funny because there's a partition that separated our office. So like it was like a table, a partition, and then another table. But me and I, when we sit down, we couldn't see each other. So when we were angry or had something to say, you just see someone pop up. And I think like one day, like we were popping up back and forth and we're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want this to be my life. Like I used to say, I'm going to retire at the school system. Oh my goodness. I couldn't even make it like 2 years without really being like, oh man, this is like detrimental to my mental health. And there just was no stopping, because when you're trying to do what's best for kids, you have to do that, which isn't fair. But if you don't do that, there's just so many other things. So it was this aha moment when we had both started working in the same district and we were creating our OT program and we were realizing, oh my gosh, we could do so much more if we were a support and work outside of it rather than within it.
Yeah. And I think too, being in the district, there's a lot of barriers. And we were like, we can do so much more and so much better at closing the gap and providing the services to have OT accessible for everyone, not just like this very restrictive service, because we can help so much more. So I think that's the birth of the idea. And I mean, if you ever get to talk to Danielle, if you know Danielle, you know how brilliant she is. And I was like, I can see myself doing it with you, because I told myself I would never go into business. And so she convinced me otherwise.
I also want to say, I think Luke convinced us as well. So if you ever want to hear about my story, there's a podcast about it on Sarah's podcast from, oh, I don't even know, 2019, maybe 2020, 2018. Oh, Lord, so many years ago.
A while ago.
but, you know, he sustained a traumatic brain injury at birth. And I knew that if I were to stay at a district and not give it a chance, because we always said, well, hey, if we fail, which we never say anymore, by the way, we used to say it all the time, but we never say that anymore. It's interesting when you get more comfortable and confident and you're just like, wow, can't believe how much we crapped on ourselves and look at us. But I knew I wouldn't be able to be the parent I wanted to be and to be the parent that he needed. And I wanted to be more available. I wanted to be more accessible for him. And I wanted to be able to support his education. And how I get to support him now is so great. But I think that that also too, when me and I would look and we'd be like, you know, if we do this, we're helping everybody. And we could do it in our way and in a way that we knew was really beneficial and really showing some really positive things for Luke, because, you know, we were doing mindfulness and movement. We were like, oh, if we could just get more people to jump on board with this, like, we'd really start to see some change. So,
and to add on that too, we wanted to prioritize our mental health. We wanted to create a business that honored our neurodivergent brains, yeah. Because I realized our brains don't work well between the hours of 8 and 5. I mean, like, yes, in person it does, but for paperwork, when, you know, when the districts want you to get stuff done, we're like, why is it so hard to initiate things, to complete things? And so we realized owning a business and really supporting how our brains work and our mental health, I think that was the kind of push that we needed as well to just get things started faster than we had a three to five year plan.
And we left it 4 years.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. And I kind of want to go a little bit deeper on this within your business, because me, Danielle, you know, we knew each other before our businesses got anywhere off the ground. We were both geographically in a similar location. We were building at the same time, but we both went completely different directions. We both had the same vision. We wanted to support students. We wanted to support inclusivity and mindfulness within the classroom, in that school-based occupational therapy setting, in that public education setting. As people know, I went with the OT Schoolhouse. It's all online. And the way that you two have gone is completely different, but it still, you know, fits that similar need. And you're supporting students, supporting teachers in the classroom. So I want to ask you, how did you decide on that style of a model where you are working directly with districts? And did you actually consider other models?
Well, Jason, we've all been to the trainings that we just shut our camera off and do something else, because majority of trainers aren't the ones that are actually coming in the field and showing us on a consistent basis and sharing with our teachers and our staff how to actually implement those interventions. So we knew there needed to be at least an in-person component, because they need to see the people that are training them in the field and authentically living with them and experiencing how to manage and support from an OT and a behavior perspective. And who better to support behaviors than OTs with mindful behaviorists? Like, it's the perfect, and we always joke and say, there are OTs. And it's just, I don't know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think, too, why we are supporting more on the model that we chose was that we actually took data when we worked in the previous district that we did. When we did more RTI, supporting them before the referral, we saw a decrease in our referrals. And more importantly, we got more appropriate referrals, because I cannot tell you how many times we got referrals because there was no RTI in place. We would assess the kid, we would wait 60 days, and then it turns out like he just needed, or, you know, the student just needed a pencil grip or maybe just some strategies for left-handed stuff. So I think that we saw such a significant improvement in that because we were burning out with the amount of assessments. And so that's another reason why as well.
Yeah. And for those of you who are not school-based OT practitioners listening, RTI is a preventative model within the schools. That's all you need to know about it right now. If you want to know more, go to the OT Schoolhouse podcast. But so now let's talk about that. Like, you made a decision, you wanted to kind of support kids before they necessarily needed an evaluation in the schools. What was the hardest part to get from, or the hardest thing about getting from idea to actually implementing your idea?
Funding. Convincing. People trusting that what we were saying was going to work. And I believe that this is happening because we had an amazing leader that we worked with before at our previous district that really allowed us to understand facets of inclusion and what it should look like and what it shouldn't look like. And then she allowed us to be able to take that occupational therapy expertise and put it into practice. And we all know it takes so long for research to get put into practice and then for that research and to be implemented and then funding to be allocated for it. So it took at least 7 to 8 months of prepping before we even got the first opportunity to support in a very small and specific way. But it was because we knew if we spent this time, this free time we were not getting paid for, but developing and pulling all of that research and experience and expertise and saying, this is what we were doing, this is what's working, this is what's not. And we had the credibility to back that up. And then once we got in there, then it was our time to show and practice what we preach. And that's how you continue to support and have those opportunities available with lots of ups and downs in the way. But I think that's how it was, at least for this, because of the non-traditional, non-billable type of OT services, which we have a lot of shifts in laws and stuff for now that's making it a little bit easier. So, but before it was not.
So, me, I want to ask you specifically, just in case there's anything else that you found that could have been a challenge or maybe a barrier or something that made it hard to really take that first step in starting your business and overcoming a lot of these challenges that we face going from OT practitioner to OTpreneur. I know Danielle talked about kind of the funding and just being able to get people to listen, right? Hey, we can make a difference and we can support you. Was there anything that you felt that was specifically challenging or that was hard for you in the very beginning in really taking that first step into becoming an OTpreneur?
Yes. With my personality, it is very hard to put myself out there as that from going from an employee to an OTpreneur, right? Just putting yourself out there and really selling what it is that you have to offer. Being a business person, it's like a whole different language, a whole different persona. And so that comes with a whole set of skills. So I would say that was one of the biggest challenges for myself.
Yeah, like we're supporting kids and you have to get contracts and jobs to live, and you don't want to sound like hire me, but it's like we get so excited and passionate because we're like no, we want to show you what we have, but like to do that delicate balance and be able to share what you are, especially when we didn't really know how to define us at that point either. And no one else knew because they could barely define us as OTs. And then we finally got that down. And then we're like, no, just kidding. Now we're not really going to do OT the way you know us as OTs. We're going to do something different. So it was really like, it was challenging in the beginning. And I feel like we have a good handle on that now, like over a year later, but it was hard.
Yeah. And then setting up like the foundations as well, like the systems, because when you go to work for someone, they have all of that. They have an HR department. They have the billing, the payroll, the everything. So now you're not just an OT. You're an OTpreneur where you are everything. Until you set up those systems and train people to fill those systems, you are everything.
I remember the call when you first told me, both of you were on the call, you told me that you were calling yourselves educational consultants. Even though you were occupational therapy practitioners, you're educational consultants. And I think Danielle used that in her description of what you are as well earlier today. And it just goes to show, right? Like, yes, we are all occupational therapy practitioners, but when you go into business, you become so much more than an occupational therapy practitioner as well, because there's just so many hats to wear. And I think you kind of alluded to, you know, the language that you use as an occupational therapy practitioner is very different than the language you use as a business owner. And that language is going to change depending whether or not you're talking to a teacher that you're supporting for their student, or if you're talking to someone who is going to be signing the contract with you, right? Like the people at the district level, you're going to talk to very differently than the people at, the teachers and the students. So yeah, I just love that you have kind of talked a little bit about getting outside the practitioner role because you've had to. So thanks for sharing that. And with that, we kind of want to ask you, what have been some resources that helped you as you started your business?
Both of you.
We did not pay them to say that. I promise. Throw that out there. We did not pay them to say that.
One of the resources that Danielle found, I don't know where you found it from, but it is the USC Small Business Clinic, where we apply to have them help their students at the USC Law Business Clinic. And you apply for the process so they can help you with your bylaws, your foundation. So all the paperwork, applying to be an LLC or an S-Corp, that was an invaluable resource that Danielle came across and we're like, heck yes, because or else we would have paid, we have had to pay for that service. So that's one of the resources that I like to share for new business owners. And then I know the Inland Empire, San Bernardino specifically, they have a small business coalition to help you and educate you about the small businesses and how to start it up. So all of the foundations as well. And I love that for San Bernardino, because if you're not familiar with the area, it's a very underserved population. And so a lot of families who want to start their own business but don't have the resources or the funding or the knowledge, it is a great place to start as well.
I also think too, when I utilize every interaction as an opportunity to learn more information. So when we started putting ourselves out there and networking and doing some events, because in the beginning we were doing a lot of things without getting paid, because what happens is you do it with the intention of networking to be able to then build relationships and work with people that are going to be in alignment with what the services are and fit that area of need. So every time we came in contact with people that knew more than us, we utilized every interaction and every conversation to be able to learn and gather more information or get put with appropriate resources. So it's a lot of talking. And I know everyone who knows me is like, oh, but you're so outgoing and you love talking. Like, you all know I hate leaving my house. Now, you all know that because you're my friends. But I think what it's important to do is to be mindful of your mental health and that mindfulness and your social battery and knowing and not to put yourself out there too much, too fast, too quickly, and not in a way that you won't be able to provide. And we always say we choose quality over quantity. So even when we're expanding, the goal is to always keep that quality, which means the people we come around always have good information on how to help us continue to grow and sustain that way.
We've talked a lot already about kind of that beginning, the beginning of your business and getting started and overcoming barriers. But we really want to know what impact it's had. How has it changed your life since you were an employee? And I know you talked about burnout and you talked about kind of all these negative realizations of our profession, right? We hear it time and time again. But since becoming a business owner and doing things your way and being able to do the things that light you up and do it the way you want it to be done, how has that changed your lives?
Wow, that is a loaded question, Sarah. That is a very deep question. That one is a thinker. Honestly, the first thing that comes to my mind is my mental health is so much better now. I did not realize that my baseline of functioning when I was working at a district was it was always in fight or flight. And it starts when my alarm goes off. I'm on this cycle and I was just going through the motions and things that used to make me happy, I did not find joy in that anymore. So it got to a point where I'm like, I need to do something different. So where we are right now is I can tell you my mental health, my physical, my emotional, just everything has drastically improved. And I have learned so much more. I love how much I've learned stepping out of the OT practitioner lens and into that OTpreneur lens.
Everything that you just said. And I think for me as a mom, when you work in the school system and you support disabled kids day in and day out, and then you have to come home and you have to parent, whether your kid is disabled or not, it is another role, a very meaningful role and a job within itself. And it allowed me to tune back in and be the best mom, the best person I can be. I had so much trauma from my birth that I feel like I was able to actually heal, take a break from the things that I didn't even realize, like me was saying, I didn't even realize how impacted I was by the stress, the trauma, all of the barriers. And whenever we'll have like a full day of work, like in person or like doing these hours, we're like, oh my gosh, it's like a trigger response. It's a direct trigger because it brings us back to the old days. And we're like, how did we do this every day? And I think it's because we fall into these systems and it's so hard to get out of the systems. But we're here to show like the next generation of occupational therapists, right? Like you don't have to you be in the systems to learn about the systems, but you don't necessarily have to stay in them. Because I feel like a lot of students have no idea that they can branch out and do this and have this life. But I think that everybody's experience on how they go from OT school until they're, you know, they want to explore their journey, whether it be right out of, you know, college or whether they wait, I think that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. It's whatever you need, whenever you want it, whenever you can make a plan to make it happen strategically and specifically. And I think that we spent 3 years of our lives prepping for this financially, like from like our live perspective and having, especially if you're going into business with another person. So everyone always asks me and I like, how do you work together? Like, how did you pick? How do you know? And we're just like, we're just authentically honest every moment, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, because if you're not, you can't do something, right, Sarah, unless it's a hell yeah. And if we're both not on team hell yeah, then it's a no for us. And when you run a business with another person, especially when you're working with friends, you have to be able to really separate that and really set up those good systems like we were talking about before. But I also think the greatest gift, and what not just has it changed our life, we get to give the gift of this change to the people that we get to hire, and we get to support their mental health. And it's one less person working within a broken system and another one working for a system that everyone should have, where their mental health and their lives are appreciated and, you know, they're empowered and have a good, safe working environment.
I love that, and I echo all of that. Like, that's Sarah and I have talked about that on the podcast, the reasons that we became OTpreneurs, and it's so similar, right? Like, none of us, I can confidently say none of us are here to be millionaires. None of us are here to, for the purpose of... That is a result of the passion, though. That is not what your desired outcome is. You will get there. I know you will, because you are all awesome. But you didn't start your business to become a millionaire, I don't think. Right, me?
Oh my gosh. You know what's so funny? We actually had the conversation the other day where, like, we really need to stop doing stuff for free. This is getting to a point where we have to survive. And I think that was the hardest part, because we didn't realize how hard it was to give away and do free stuff. And no, if we were in it for the money, I don't think any of us would have chose education or occupational therapy, since we're left with just as much debt as we are as soon as we get out of school, right? But as a result, yeah, of course, you know, I'm telling you right now, you could make way more money in entrepreneurship than you can in a district. But what differs is when your drive is not financial and it is through passion, love, and successful and strategic planning.
Yeah.
And that is the key to having a successful, thriving business that's grounded in just great systems and not rooted in profit as a profitable business, yeah, right? Talking about that sales pitching before and stuff. It's like, it's that awkward piece. Go ahead, me. I'm sorry.
Yes, Jason, I wanted to find why I fell in love with OT in the first place. And I always say the money will come. You build something that you pour your heart and your love and your passion and everything into it, the money will come. Like, don't do something for the money or just for the money. That won't be, that's not a good model to follow. So yes, I would love to be a millionaire, but I did it because I wanted to find my love for OT again.
Must be the money. Sorry. Nelly was coming
on. I also sing on the show, just FYI.
All right. So
that was a nice surprise. Thank you.
I was debating, like, I had to do it. All right. Anyways, we want to wrap this up here really quickly, but I have a question, and I want each of you to answer this one individually. What is one tool, one book, one belief, one idea, one thing that you can attribute to the success that you have each had within your business. This can be anything. It can be a book. It can be an idea. It can be whatever you want it to be. But one thing that you can kind of say, you know what, without that, I don't know if I would have gotten to where I am today. It could even be a person. I don't know.
I will go first. So I think I told Danielle that in order to make this collaboration, this business work, we have to be comfortable with having difficult conversations. We have to keep each other accountable, but also we have to remind ourselves at the end of the day, we are family. She's like my sister. So I think just having that as like the core, because at the end of the day, like, I love Danielle. She's like my older sister that I never asked for. And also, we have this thing where every year we pick a word. And the first year that we went into it full time, our word was patience, because we know the first 2 years of having a business, the money won't won't just be rolling in.
It's going the wrong way.
Contracts.
The money's going out. It's not coming in.
It's so depressing.
Exactly.
So sad.
It's exiting.
Bye. See you never.
And in those moments too, we have to remind each other like why we started this business. It always has to go back to that why. And so our first year was patience, and everything that we did when times were hard and difficult, we're like, patience, patience. This year, 2023, our year was expansion, and we really, everything that we did had to align with that word. So my personal word was along with what you said, Sarah, if it's not a hell yeah, then it's a no. So my word or number was 100%. If my heart was not 100% into it, then I cannot do it. Because again, at the end of the day, it has to be quality over quantity.
Everything you said, especially being an only child and knowing that when you go into business with your friends and then their family, and you have that dynamic, and you know that the work you're doing, it can be so much. But I think in addition to our words and in addition to our relationship and making sure we're always taking care of each other and our families, the phrase that we say is doing what's best for kids always. Because I think what happens is kids get left to bear the aftermath when systems are at fail, and they fail a lot. And I think that when we channel and tune back into doing what's best for kids always, just like our previous leader, Bridget, would say all the time, how can you ever be wrong, even when the information you have to say is hard? So I think when you just tune in and remember the why, we're doing this for us, we're doing this for our mental health, we're doing this to provide a safe working environment, we're doing this to show that if you change, could you imagine if every district put the mental health of their teachers first and had financial backing to increase their wages and the support and the training to support that actual expansion of capacity, then we could put kids first always. So I think that we are in a step in the right direction, but when we bring it back to the people that you're serving within your business and who you are there for, and if you keep that at your core, I think that's what drives us every moment of every day, especially on the hardest days when you see why what we're doing is so important. The days you want to give up, that's when you think of that.
That was Monday.
That was Monday. And today is Wednesday, and we don't want to give up anymore. And we are happy and we are here, because it's a lot harder in entrepreneurship, because you have to make your own rules, and you have to really show up as what you're going to do. And it's an up and down kind of ride, but we're here for it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'll tell you that. I'm never going back. Ever. There's no going back to anything. It's MIM for the rest of our lives.
I literally have, gosh, for probably the past 5 minutes, I have had tears in my eyes as both of you have been speaking. Jason and I had lots of conversations talking about our first guest episode and the people that we were going to bring on. And I mean, this is a big deal to us, right? We've had our show and we've been doing it, the two of us, and we're like, this first guest episode has to be perfect. In my mind, I'm recovering. Jason, I think you're a recovering perfectionist as well. We knew that this episode was going to raise the bar. And we knew that the people that we were going to choose to bring on were going to help us do that. And honestly, everything that you have said today, I'm like, yes, like entrepreneurship, OTpreneurship is not easy. It's amazing. It is beautiful. But it is messy, it is stressful, it is emotional. And I really think that both of you highlighted today the best of both of those, right? Like, it's hard. We're coming from a lot. We're going through a lot personally as we're navigating this journey at becoming an OTpreneur. But there's so much just awesomeness that can happen when you actually take that first step and when you start that business and really start showing up in the space as you want to show up and being able to support the people that you want to support. And it doesn't happen very often, but I am speechless because everything that you said just really hit home for me. And I know it's all things that I have experienced or felt or, you know, kind of been along the journey myself as an entrepreneur. And all I can say is thank you, both of you, for coming on, sharing everything today. Jason, is there anything that you want to say?
I just want to say a few something that we've said, I think, a few times already today, that it's just been so awesome to watch both of you like develop mindfulness and motion. I mean, from that idea, like, hey, we can do something better, that you had, you know, just that simple idea that you had 4 or 5 years ago to kind of where you've come today. Like, we can't even cover all of that in a single episode, let alone like an entire series of episodes probably, but just that, the experience that you both have gone through from, we are occupational therapy practitioners that work in the schools, to we know we can do better at working in the schools, to, you know what, I can do what I really want to do and I can best serve these students by not actually being an employee, but instead by starting a business and going in a contracted way to support the schools. And it's just been amazing to watch your journey go from being that practitioner in the schools to where you are now and just making an even bigger difference than you ever could have made as a district or contracted individual school-based occupational therapy practitioner.
Thank you guys for believing in us and always like guiding the way and just being our biggest cheerleader. We're always over here like cheering you guys on. Like, you guys are doing such amazing things. And it's weird to hear you guys having that perspective on us, because I think we live in our own little bubble and we think like we don't exist outside of our own little bubble. But yeah, I just want to say thank you guys so much for having us as your first guest. It was an honor. And when Sarah texted me that, I was like, first of all, go Eagles.
Go Niners.
Second of all,
go Giants.
Fight on.
And the Jets sometimes.
Yeah, so when Sarah texted me that, it was hands down, hell yes. These are the people who helped us build our foundation, gave us the encouragement and the confidence to be like, we can do this. Can we really do this? Yes, we can. And so, yeah, thank you guys. Yeah,
thank you both so much. Like, you have no idea how much gratitude, how much respect we have for both of you. And kudos to all of us trying to shift the occupational therapy profession for the future generation of OTs out there and giving them all of the options, right? Because it's about access for everybody and opportunity. And I think that is one thing we are all doing an excellent job at. So you all keep doing everything y'all are doing. We'll keep crying and laughing through what we're doing. But we're all making a really big difference in a lot of ways, but we're highlighting our profession very non-traditionally. And I think that is awesome.
Well, thank you, me. Thank you, Danielle, so much. Like, from the bottom of Jason and my heart, like, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was such an honor to have you. If people want to reach out to you, if they want to learn more from you, where can they find you?
You can follow us on Instagram. Our handle is mindfulness.in.motion. And our website is www.themimproject.com.
We just want to wish you the best of luck as you continue your OTpreneur journey and continue to support the students and support the people that you have already had such an impact on their lives and really shifting their perspective. I know Danielle says that all, the changing the mindset and doing things better. So thank you again. And so, like I've said already a million times, but thank you so much for coming on. It was such an honor to have you both on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was so much fun. Thank you for having us.
I feel like so much of what Danielle and me said during that talk, and I said this right at the end of the episode, but like so much of it resonated with me. I'm like, gosh, I went through mm-hmm. that, or I'm going through that, or, you know, I'm sure I'm going to go through it again here at some point. But like talking about that burnout, talking about the life that they had, you know, their previous life when they were employees and before that they had kind of started their OTpreneur journey. And I'm, you know, I always remember like thinking back to that moment. I had a pretty good life, right? Before I started my private practice and before I became a business owner, I had a pretty good life. I wouldn't say it was like the most amazing, great, like ranting and raving about it, but like I remember just being like moderately happy, right? And mm-hmm. it was one of those things that when I got that idea to start a private practice, I was like, wait, maybe I can have a better life. Maybe, even though things aren't horrible, but maybe they could be better. And I feel like me and Danielle, they really highlighted that of like kind of coming from the ashes a little bit, right? And like bringing themselves up and being in that fight or flight mode. And really, they mentioned trauma. They mentioned a lot of things that they were kind of going through before they started their own company. But having that realization of like, A, we need to prioritize our own lives. We need to prioritize our own mental health and all of that. But B, we can do what we want and we can do it better. Like that, all of that spoke to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's something about business, right? Like you're putting in a ton of energy, a ton of effort, maybe even a ton of money right now, but you're doing all of that for the outcome 1 year, 2 year, 5 years later. I'm sure I can speak for you as well when I say, you know, it wasn't easy getting started. They shared that today and they're really only a year, year and a half into actually bringing in revenue. I know they're more like 4 years into the whole planning process and getting to where they are, but they're really only a year and a half into their execution mm-hmm. of the business, if you want to call it that. And they're already seeing all these benefits, you know, just better mental health, more time with family, doing what they love to do. And so does it take time? Does it take energy? Does it take upfront cost to your health potentially and to your well-being a little bit? Yeah, it does. But that long-term outcome can just be so rewarding. And I think that's kind of what we heard today a little bit from them.
And I loved Mi's insight and her honesty, right? Her brutal honesty, especially right in the beginning when we were talking about, like, did you ever think that you would become a business owner and an OTpreneur? And she was like, no, like, hell no, I think was actually, hell no was actually her choice of words there. And again, like that was something for me. I never thought that I was going to be a business owner. And I really just want to highlight that point here, because if somebody's listening and they have an idea, or maybe they don't have an idea, but for whatever reason, they have stumbled upon you and I talking right now and stumbled upon our podcast, I want people to understand you don't have to be the, you know, that chronic entrepreneur where you were slinging hacky sacks on the playground when you were mm-hmm. in middle school or something like that. You can be the reluctant entrepreneur, that OTpreneur that you never thought that you'd actually be a business owner and have a business for yourself. So regardless of really kind of where you are, I think this just kind of shows, you know, me and Danielle, they really showed Danielle was always kind of that business minded and kind of doing things her own way. Yeah. And me was like, nope, like I'm going to run from that. Don't even get me near any of that business stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned this actually at the conference the other day, and you said, you know, you can work as little or as much as you want as an entrepreneur, as an OTpreneur. If you want to, you know, not worry about making too much money, but you only want to work one day a week, then do that. If you want to put in a 40-hour work week so you can maximize your revenue and potentially grow, do that. If you want to work 80 hours a week so that you can grow three different businesses, do that. It's totally up to you as the occupational therapy entrepreneur to kind of find that business that meets your lifestyle. And we all do it differently, you know? And so, yeah.
And also, I wanted to kind of bring up, and I know we're going to do another episode about the conference too, so won't give too much out away with that.
Yeah.
But I know one of the questions that came up was really like navigating your life on top of being an OTpreneur, and specifically kind of piggybacking on what you just said there, Jason. My workflow, my amount of time that I can invest in my business and in some of these business opportunities has ebbed and flowed throughout my OTpreneur journey. Mm-hmm. When I was first starting out, I was putting in 80 to 100 hours. I don't even want to know how many hours I was putting into my business. And over the years, it shifted, and becoming a mom has drastically decreased the amount of time that I have to be able to give to some of these other opportunities and to some of my business endeavors. But it just goes to show that you can put in a lot of time, you can put in a little time, and over time, those time constraints or the amount of time that you have might also change. And allowing that to happen as your business starts and as your business grows, things can change, things can happen. And that's just all part of being an OTpreneur right there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up so everyone can take what they learned today and go put it into action as they hop on their computer and sit down to work on their business here. You want to wrap us up?
Yeah. I'm last off, gosh, we've said so much today, but if anybody has any takeaways from this episode, any questions, any comments, anything at all, please reach out to us, let us know. And we'd love to hear what you think about our first guest episode. Jason and I were really excited about this. And honestly, we couldn't have picked two better people to bring on and really showcase their OTpreneur journey.
And be real. They were just so real about it, which I love.
I know. Yeah. So open, so transparent. And that's a big pillar of OTpreneur, right? That's a big pillar of who we are as a business and really kind of what we stand for. We want to have these real, open, transparent conversations about what it's like to be. We're not going to just showcase the rainbows and butterflies. Like, there's a lot of difficulties that we have to face and overcome as OTpreneurs as well. If you are still listening to this, I know this is a little bit longer episode here, but Jason and I, we appreciate you so much for being here. We can't thank you enough for tuning into this episode. And we can't wait to have you join us on our next episode. So remember, wherever you are on your OTpreneur journey, we are here to support you. And feel free, go reach out to us. Go find us over at OTpreneur.com. We appreciate you listening to today's episode. Be the first to hear about any OTpreneur news and grab our free guide to OT business models at OTpreneur.com. OTpreneur, it's where occupational therapy means business. Yes. What? Uh-oh. Jason froze on me.
You're frozen.
There we go.
You froze on us.
You froze on me. Everybody else was still with us. Jason's freezing.
You're still frozen.
Who's freezing?
Am I frozen?
Jason's freezing, and Jason, you're a little cloudy.
Oh. I'm a little cloudy.
Wow. You're a little spotty. Okay. You're like 2D almost. You know,
we're all a little cloudy.
just a little hazy here. Just a little hazy. It's cool.
Oh,
how do you close up? I feel like I haven't done an interview in forever.
To continue on,
thank you.
I know our next question.
It's like we need to elaborate what that is, because some people might not know.
Yeah, when me and Danielle and I all get together and talk, like, we just know everyone knows about school-based OT, and so all those terms come out.
But, I'm so sorry.
No, it's totally fine.
One of the biggest barriers or the challenges of starting the business, that was the question, yes? Sarah, can you just ask the question again, please?
Yes, I will lead you into this. No, that's perfectly fine. Okay. What, you didn't have a massive team supporting you with all of this when you first started out? None of us did.
I wish.
I still don't even have a huge team to do all of that either. So, yeah. Jason, I feel like you had something to say. Jason, are you there? Did you freeze again? No. No, okay, he's there.
I'm here. I missed half of Mee's response, but...
Oh, no.
No, she actually went in and started talking exactly what I wanted her to talk about without even mentioning that is what I wanted you to say on the show. So thank you, Mee, for being spot on and bringing that up, because that was the specific resource that I was like, if you don't mention it, I'm going to prompt you for it. But you did.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought. See what happens.
So I'm gonna just pause for 1 second, because this is our first guest episode. I'm like, hey Jason, now we're at the end. What are we gonna do here?